Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. We can count on God to be faithful, and that's good to remember because it seems like we live in a world where too many people will betray others. It seems like in our present world, loyalty can be bought, and loyalty can be for sale to the highest bidder. When we think of extreme examples of disloyalty, espionage comes to mind when a person is recruited to spy against their own country. Sometimes the motivation is a perceived slight or an ideological alignment to another country. Frequently, money is introduced as part of the equation, and the unfaithful and disloyal person who has been recruited as a spy for another country starts to live very well. Spies can even be found in the corporate world, and spies working for one company can be recruited to work against their employer for the same types of reasons a person may choose to spy for another country. These types of spies who are recruited to spy against their own country or employer are unfaithful and disloyal. Being a spy to serve the interests of your own country or employer is generally seen as being loyal and faithful, because these people make personal sacrifices while putting themselves at risk to benefit their country or employer. We expect loyalty and faithfulness from others. For instance, if we follow a sports team, we expect their coaches and athletes to loyally and faithfully play the game to win. We don't expect a player or coach to purposely alter the outcome of the game to achieve a personal benefit for themselves, like winning money in a gambling situation. Even though in the past some sports have issued lifetime bans for this type of disloyalty and unfaithfulness, these types of bans are being reconsidered, especially with all the sports gambling that occurs. It shouldn't come to us as a surprise when some athletes get caught up in rigging the outcomes of games to benefit sports gambling. When a politician is elected to office, the voters hopefully base their vote not only on alignment to political principles and ideals held by the voter, but that the person elected to office would loyally and faithfully serve the people. For instance, in the United States, when a president takes the oath of office, they swear or affirm that they will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. The vice president, members of the president's cabinet, and members of Congress similarly swear or affirm they will faithfully discharge the duties of the office they are about to enter. For these people, this public affirmation is required by the United States Constitution. Loyalty and faithfulness are important to us on the human level, and we can take comfort that God describes himself as faithful. God is faithful, and Satan is not. In Lamentations, we are told that it is by God's mercies we are spared what we deserve, and that God's mercies, which seemingly renew day by day, show God's great faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Towards the end of his life, Moses reviewed with Israel all that God had done for them and what God expected. He described God as keeping agreements and showing mercy to those who do what God expects and repaying those who disregard him. When Moses told the people to do all that God expected, he did so explaining that God is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. God's faithfulness is recorded for us in the Psalms. We are told that God's faithfulness reaches higher than the clouds and can be shown in many different ways, that ultimately God's faithfulness leads to a spiritual benefit. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. David was humbled by all that God did for him, and came to recognize that what God wants from us is to do what is expected instead of offering sacrifices for sin. David came to understand the righteousness of God and sought to be righteous like God. David also knew that God was exceptionally faithful to his people. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. In another psalm, God's mercies and faithfulness are bundled together in the same verse. God's faithfulness surrounds him and is directed to the people of God. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. God's faithfulness extends from generation to generation. If we need a testament to God's faithfulness, all we need to do is look at the creation in which we live. The world we live in was created so long ago and still exists today. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Just like all scripture is given by inspiration of God and useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness so that people can live a life of godly service and living, God's words are based in faithfulness and truth. Imagine how hard it would be to use the Bible to live a life of godly service and living if it lacked faithfulness. Imagine how hard it would be to spiritually develop if we were busy questioning the reliability of God's word. What we believe is based in faithfulness and truth, so we do not need to worry about this. It is God who is faithful, who gives strength to the poor and needy. It is God who is faithful to protect us from those things which can destroy us. And it is God who is faithful to protect us from others. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, and shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Isaiah shows that God, the Holy One of Israel, is faithful, and shows his people so that all the world could see the blessings that come through faithfulness was on God's people. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship. Because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mouth in the way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the last of Sinim. Malachi shows us that God's faithfulness is simply shown by through how God does not change. Because God does not change, Israel will not be completely destroyed. When Jesus Christ returns, it is through God's faithfulness that his people will not be harmed. And God expects his people to separate themselves from sin and to not oppress others. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. Fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Paul explained to the Corinthians that God is faithful, showing that as much as God is working in our lives now, God will continue to work in our lives through the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul also explained to them that God is faithful to his people. Though we may have shared experiences, God is so faithful that he does not give us more than we can handle. God will be faithful to us to give us what we can handle. And when needed, God will also give us a pressure release valve so that we can have a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Paul reminded the Thessalonians that God is faithful. As God is faithful to us, there are spiritual things we need to be doing. We need to be doing what is good, and we need to choose to be happy. We need to pray, and we need to be thankful. We cannot take action that would deny the Holy Spirit, nor can we despise what the Bible says will happen in prophecy. We verify what we are told about the Bible and hold on to what is true. We avoid even the appearance of evil. Doing all of this, we know we have a faithful God who will bring us to salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God and Jesus Christ remain faithful even if we are not faithful. If we lack belief in any aspect of our calling, we are unfaithful because we should believe what is good. In those moments when we are faithful, God and Jesus Christ remain faithful. Others walking away from what is true is never an excuse for us to walk away from what is true. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Because God and Jesus Christ are faithful, through prayer we can enter the throne room of heaven, and we can do that with a full assurance of faith, knowing that God and Jesus Christ are faithful. Because they are faithful, our spiritual needs will be met. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In his first letter, John tells us that when we acknowledge the sins in our life, God and Jesus Christ are faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we try and justify our sins, we reduce God to a liar. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. As Moses was drawing closer to the time when Joshua would take over as the leader of Israel, Moses told Israel to be strong and of a good courage, because God was with Israel, would not fail Israel, and would not forsake Israel, all indicators of God's faithfulness to Israel. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom He destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. When James writes that every good and perfect gift comes from God, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning, James describes God's faithful nature. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. When Jesus described God our Father as loving the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that all who believe on Jesus could have eternal life, Jesus not only linked this to doing what God expected of us, but was showing God's faithfulness. Unlike people who pick and choose who gets what favors, God is faithful to broadly make available to all who believe in Jesus Christ the offer of eternal life. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hebrews gives us many concluding directions. We are reminded to let brotherly love continue and not to overlook entertaining strangers. We are told to remember those who are in prison or who suffer adversity. We are reminded to honor marriage and to reflect the character of God in how we speak. But we are also reminded that God will never leave or forsake us. And in an uncertain world, that should bring us great comfort, because when we are told God will never leave or forsake us, we are reminded of God's faithfulness. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Peter tells us that since the beginning of time, God has been working for the establishment of his kingdom and the return of Jesus Christ. When we look back in history and see what looks like incredibly long periods of time, we should not lose hope, knowing God's plan even back then was in place. And as a broad piece of his plan is that no person should miss out on eternal life unless they have truly and fully rejected God, and that all should come to repentance where they can have eternal life. God is not the one out there seeking whom he may devour. Our adversary does that. God is seeking eternal life for all, and that speaks to God's faithfulness. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to his word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul encouraged the Philippians by reminding them that God who called them would continue that good work in them until they received eternal life at the return of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Think about that. God has called us and will continue that good work in us until eternal life is given at the return of Jesus Christ. There is nothing about us that God did not know when he called us. When God called us, God knew us better than we knew ourselves then or know ourselves now. Reading the letters to the churches in Revelation, we know salvation and eternal life is to those who overcome. Overcoming is a lifelong endeavor, either until we die or the return of Jesus Christ, whichever comes first. God did not call us because he was bored and wanted to be amused by a group of people who could not overcome. God did not call us so he could tell us that we got this close, but that's not good enough, and there's the lake of fire. God called us because he knew that we would spend a lifetime overcoming, God called us because he knew that we would not reject the good work that he started in us. God called us because he knew we would be led by the Holy Spirit, allowing the good work he started in each of us to continue. And through that good work will come the gift of eternal life. There is absolutely nothing about our life that God did not know when he called us. And God called us so that we can have eternal life. We can take great comfort in the faithfulness of God. Having a faithful God does not mean that we will live an easy life. We have accepted God's calling, living in a world that has mostly rejected God. If this world rejects God, they also reject us. When this world hates God or despises God, it will also hate and despise us. As God has been faithful to us, we must remain faithful to God even in these more trying times. We have to be careful not to give the world unnecessary reasons to persecute us. We can't allow ourselves to be caught up in criminal activity, nor can we be so engaged with the affairs of this world that we get caught up in the personal attacks that are so frequent in this world. When others are concerned and frustrated by the hard nature of this world, we can take comfort knowing God is faithful. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. God is so faithful that we need to remember the words of Paul to the Romans, that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is through Jesus Christ. God is faithful to us, and we must remain faithful to God. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Finally, we remember that while we are called to the faith, we live in a world that has mostly rejected the faith we have. We live in a world founded on a knowledge of good and evil, and where it seems evil comes front and center. We can take comfort that God is faithful to each of us. God's faithfulness to each of us will keep us grounded while we live in this present and uncertain world. And God's love will keep evil from us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. God is faithful, and since the beginning of time has worked so that all who believe might have eternal life. There is absolutely nothing that will separate us from the love of God, which is through Jesus Christ. While we live in a world that is grounded in the knowledge of good and evil, and where evil seems to percolate to the top, we have a faithful God who will keep us from evil. God is faithful to us, and we must remain faithful to God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.